Do you have a best friend? Now, I've got four puppy dogs, so I can say that they're my best friend. I've got a wonderful husband, and I can share that he's my best friend. I've got a whole heap of ceramic and plastic and stuffed puppy dogs all through my house because I love puppy dogs, and I think that they can be your best friend if you need unconditional love. But here's a great question. If you need a stack of energy, if you want to have a body that can fight germs, bugs, viruses, and diseases, if you want a body that's got can perform at its best all the time, if you want great hair, great skin, great nails, strong teeth, strong bones, strong muscles so that you can do all the things that you want to do, if you want to have a happy brain, if you want strong self-esteem and self-confidence, could exercise be your best friend? And since I've been a very little girl, literally since I've been 10 years of age, I've been exercising every single day. But I always share that because from 10 to 13, my exercise was silly and it was a waste of time. Now, I didn't know that. I was naive and I was a child. But as I've learned with a career path as an exercise professional now for over 40 years, there are some exercises that are a complete useless waste of time, and there are some exercises that give us magical, or literally magical results, and they can keep us fit, strong, healthy, great quality of life, a body that looks and feels good for the rest of our lives. And I have this mantra that I live by, and I've literally all of my life. So obviously terrific at 20 and feeling fabulous at 30 and fit at 40 and fabulous and fantastic at 50 and sexy at 60 and awesome at 70 and never give up at 80 and a body that's 100 plus and living fantastic with a big pile of energy. And I share that because I've seen people over 100 who are living their lives literally like 30, 40, 50 year young people. They still have a job or a career or a business that they love. They're still playing their sport. They're still making love to their partner, and they have great quality of life. Now, that doesn't come from being an inactive person. And in fact, I'll go a step further. The best medical professionals in the world are sharing with us that sitting inactivity is the new smoking. A body that is inactive literally rots away, it wastes away. It's not some airy-fairy motivational quote. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You'll lose your bone mineral density, so your bones waste away. You'll lose your muscles, so they waste away and you become weak and frail. I hate that word, frail. Your brain rots away, so you get Alzheimer's and dementia and you go senile. That's what happens to a human body that we don't use. The opposite of that, if I'm really fit and I'm really strong, then I've got a body that can take me through all of my life and I can keep doing all the things that I want to do. So for me, that's the most powerful motivation, is the outcome and the results. I also understand that some people only exercise to look good. So I always ask that question. If you had the perfect body, the body that you absolutely adored when you look in the mirror, would you still exercise if you didn't have to? And there's a lot of people who share with me that if they could have the perfect body, they would stop exercising because they only exercise so they can stay in great shape, or they're scared of getting fat, or they've lost weight and they don't want to put it back on again, or they don't want to find it again, as I always suggest. So should we find out why people exercise? What's their motivation? So is it to look good? Is it to feel good? Is it to have a stack of energy? Is it to perform at your best? Is it to have a disease-free, healthy, fit, strong body that can fight germs, bugs, and viruses? Why do people exercise? And the really exciting one for me, of course, is the mental benefit of exercise. And I have some psychologists and psychiatrists in my life who, this is where I get goosebumps, I get so excited from this stuff, that obviously if we have a healthy body, that also turns into a healthy brain or vice versa. And when we exercise at high intensity, so when we do sprinting and when we do boxing and when we do punching and kicking, when we do a high intensity sprint activity where our heart rate goes up really high, we start producing those neurotransmitters, the movement drugs of epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol. We then get reward drug of dopamine, satisfaction drug of serotonin. If we exercise in a group or with our best friend, we get oxytocin. We produce all the brain chemicals that make us feel good. And for me, that's the ultimate benefit, because if you are unhappy, if you feel depressed, if you're anxious, if you've been diagnosed with any of those mental health challenges, the great the research scientists for the brain, and I know I've got to be very careful when I say that, but the people that really want the brain to work effectively and that's all that they study, they're very passionate, probably not as passionate as me, but they're very passionate about the benefits of exercise for the brain. So literally, instead of having to take antidepressants, or there are some people who their antidepressants work so much better because they've got a healthy, fit, strong body, but the results of exercise produces the same neurotransmitters, the same chemicals that the pharmaceutical companies are trying to produce in a pill or a packet or a potion or a powder. We can produce those ourselves. So again, for me, that's a major reason to exercise. So yes, you'll look good. Yes, you'll feel good. Yes, you'll have a stack of energy. Yes, you'll perform at your best, but your brain will work at its very best. You'll perform at your 100% best effort. Now that's awesome for not feeling depressed and not feeling anxious and feeling emotionally happy. But what about thinking clearly, being more creative, being able to overcome challenges, find solutions, be optimistic? As a leader, as a parent, as a teacher, as somebody who's responsible for other people's lives and their quality of life, do we need to be the people that have a brain that can produce solutions, be optimistic, be more creative? And if something's put in front of us that our brain has to provide a solution, should we have a brain that works really well? And of course, that's what brain-derived neurotrophic factor is for. That's fertilizer for your brain. And of course, that's what happens when we exercise. And when I say exercise, I'm not talking about physical activity. And the experts are suggesting there's a major differentiation between those two. We exercise so that we can do physical activity. We exercise so that we can be good at our sport. We exercise so that we have a healthy brain. We exercise so we have a healthy body. And exercise is determined, or the definition of exercise, of course, is overloading. I have to overload my heart and lungs. I have to overload my muscles and bones. That, of course, is fired by my central nervous system, my endocrine system, my digestive system gives me the nutrition that I need, and then, of course, my immune system, which is built inside my bones, that automatically gets stronger and tougher and better because I'm healthy, fit, and strong. So if I wrap all of those together, for me, exercise is the ultimate pill. It's the perfect potion and powder, which we don't have to take a potion and powder, and we don't even have to spend any money. You can exercise in your own home, in your garage, in your backyard, in your bedroom, in your hotel room, at the beach. You can exercise anywhere at a high intense activity to push those happy chemicals into your brain, give your body the neurotransmitters it needs to be a high functioning, high performance machine. So what about the people that don't want to exercise? Well, there's two parts to that. If you look at exercise as not being 45-minute class or 1-hour run or 30-minute bike ride or all the normal things that people do consider to be exercise, if you consider exercise as simply overloading all the systems of your body so that you get that massive rush of neurotransmitters, you feel good, and then because you've overloaded your muscles and bones, they get stronger, your heart and lungs get stronger, every system in your body works more effectively, then we're not talking about 45 minutes of exercise, we're not talking about an hour of exercise, and that's what I would call physical activity. Yes, there are some people that love to ride their bike for an hour. There are people that love to run marathons and do Ironman and ultra marathon events and all sorts of stuff. But technically, you could call that a sport. What if we got really fit and really strong for our life? Really fit and really strong for the physical activities that we want to do. Really fit and really strong for our sport, for our athletic pursuits. So what have we got to do to get really fit and really strong? And that's where it gets really exciting, because if you have no desire to do physical activity, play a sport, have an active lifestyle, you can still be really fit and strong without being active. All you've got to do is overload your muscles and bones and overload your heart and lungs, endocrine system, central nervous system. And that is really easy because the human body's designed to move, and it's designed to move really fast. So we often consider that I'm going to exercise for 45 minutes. Well, technically, that's physical activity. High intense activity, you can't do it for long. You can exercise for hard and you can exercise for long, but you can't do both. So if you put in 100% effort into everything that you do physically, it's going to be very, very short. So here's a great question. If you want to have a strong body, a strong brain, be in control of your hormones, have a body that's a fast fat burning, food burning, calorie burning machine, if you want to have a high performance body, What if it was possible by simply overloading your heart and lungs at the time frame that gives you the 100% maximum effort? And of course, that is only 10 seconds. And I always use the example because it's really easy. If you can picture the Olympic Games, there's 100 meters, 200 meters, 400, 800, 1500, 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, half marathons, full marathons. But every single race at the Olympic Games is a pace race, unless you're looking at the 100 meter sprint race. The 100 meter sprint is in that 10 second time frame where the body is designed to produce instant activity to get us out of a stressful situation. We haven't evolved from that. Our body's designed to do short, fast exercise, get puffed, get the hell out of there, or turn and fight the animal. So now, as an exercise professional, one of the really exciting things for me is how can I get myself, the people that I care about, really fit and really strong in the shortest period of time, in the safest way possible, in a way that will fit into their lifestyle. So I'll ask that question again. And should we be asking that of ourselves and of our clients? What do I need to do to give my client, the people that I care about, the safest exercise? Because of course you can't continue to exercise if you are injured, the most effective exercise in the shortest period of time so they can then go and do what they want to do. And the human body, anatomy, physiology then will share very openly and passionately, if you want to learn about anatomy and physiology, is that 100% effort comes from 10 second intense bouts of activity. So the beautiful thing when you then ask your client or you ask yourself, what exercise do I need to do for 10 seconds so that I overload my heart and lungs, get really puffed so I get really fit? That's a simple question, because your muscles are blind, your heart and lungs are blind, your endocrine system's blind, your central nervous system's blind. None of those systems can see what you do. All they respond to is overload. So what a great question to ask your client. What would you like to do for 10 seconds? 10 seconds that's going to give you all of those amazing results. So that's where it comes down to personal choice. The person might have been a cyclist, a runner, an elite footballer. They might like CrossFit. They might like cross training. They might like boxing or skipping or stair climbing or anything that gets us puffed. So why not ask your client, what would you like to do for intense bouts of activity for only 10 seconds at a time? And we don't go again until you get your breath back. And that's the beautiful thing about the human body. That phosphate system, which is 10 seconds of 100% intense activity, that recovers very, very quickly. There's no waste product, so you don't get a burning sensation from lactic acid. You don't feel sick from lactic acid. And it's only short, it's only 10 seconds. So would you like to skip? Would you like to box? Would you like to cross train? Would you like to do the rowing machine? Would you like to get on a bike? Would you like to treadmill? Would you like to run up some stairs, run on some soft sand? Doesn't matter. We can dance. We can do anything that gets us puffed. Yes. So from an exercise point of view, not a physical activity point of view, and could that be a great headspace change? What exercise, high intense, short bursts of 100% effort, do I need to do so that I can then go and do all of my other activities? So I'm going to get really fit so that if I want to run a marathon, I can. I'm going to get really fit so if I want to do a bodybuilding competition, I can. Because obviously when you're really fit, your body's a fat burning machine. It's a calorie burning machine. It's a food burning machine. And you will be leaner so that if you wanted to, you could compete in a bikini competition or a bodybuilding competition. Let's get our clients, our elite athletes, our students, the people that we care about, ourselves. Let's get ourselves really fit and really strong so we can go and do the activities that we want to do. So getting fit just simply means getting puffed. Getting strong, and these beautiful, heavy, strong, they're not strong by themselves, but I get stronger from lifting them. They're 28 kilos each and they're my best friends. Because if I lift something heavy, if I overload my muscles and bones get stronger. If my muscles and bones are stronger, I can then sprint harder, which is really exciting when you're an old lady like I am. I can stay young for the rest of my life. So fabulous at 50, sexy at 60, sensational at 70, awesome at 80, never give up at 90, and happy and healthy at 100 plus because I lift heavy things. Now, heavy is simply means it's more than I think that I can do, and it's more than I did before. Because we have to overload. If I don't overload my muscles, if I don't overload my ligaments, tendons, and joints, if I don't overload my muscles to pull on my bones, that whole system doesn't get stronger. So the beautiful thing is that our brain will try and stop us a little bit before our muscles and bones will, because our brain's designed to help us to survive, yeah, to protect us. So what happens is I think I can't do any more because my brain says, no, this is really time to stop now. But my body is actually physically capable of doing some more. So the beautiful thing about exercise for getting strong muscles and bones, strong endocrine system, central nervous system, is just keep going till you can't do any more. And when you think you can't do any more, do one more or half of one more or two more. And what that does is it overloads your muscles and bones, yes, but it gives you neuroplasticity in your brain. Your brain changes because you used to think that you could only do that many and lift that much, but you just proved yourself wrong. So you thought you could do 11, but you did 12, and you thought you could lift 20 kilos, but you lifted 28 kilos. Now your brain can think differently because you've changed your brain. So the more we force our body and force our brain to get stronger, the smarter we get, the more problems we can solve, the more optimistic we become, the happier we become, the more high performing we become, and the more energetic we become, because we're forcing our body to do it. So it's not how many you do or how long you exercise for, it's the 100% intense activity. So how many of each exercise do I need to do? Keep going till you can't do any more. But if it's out of that phosphate system, so if you're exercising for more than 10 seconds, then you want to be able to increase the weight so that the energy that you are expending is in that 100% effort zone. So don't stop. If you get into 15, 20, 30 seconds, don't stop. But next time, make sure that you lift a heavier weight. The really interesting side note there, and there's two of them. One is, how long does it take me to recover? So when should I go and do my strength training again? And then should it be safe? Because obviously if I hurt myself, I can't lift heavy, I can't get puffed, and I won't get the benefits of the exercise. And if I haven't recovered from my exercise, if my body's not fully, and I love this word, super compensated, then I won't be able to lift heavier. And that's a beautiful thing about strength training. It's easy to measure because as you get stronger, you can lift heavier. So if I go to do my strength training again and I can't lift heavier, it means I haven't super compensated. So when I lift something, my muscles, the muscle fibers actually get broken down. So they become what we call catabolic. They break down. What I've got to do is repair the muscle, then it's got to regenerate, and then it's got to super compensate. And that's one of the things that people seem to forget when they do strength training. It's not something you do every day. It's getting puffed, your phosphate system recovers really quickly, and as soon as you get puffed, wait till you get your breath back, go again. But when you start breaking muscle fibers, you have to repair them, regenerate them, and then super compensate them. And again, easy to test, because if I can lift heavier, I'm obviously getting stronger. So my strength training, so I can get stronger. If I'm getting stronger, I will be able to get puffed quicker, and I'll be able to go harder because I've got muscles and bones that can support my sprinting, which then can support my physical activity. So if we keep it really simple, what do you love to do? Muscles and bones and heart and lungs are blind. I've got to get puffed to get fit. I've got to overload my muscles and bones to get strong, and I've got to make sure I give them long enough to recover. From a how do I pick safe exercises point of view, it's again, some people have made this very complicated, and it's really simple. What I've got to be aware of is that my body's designed to be in the upright position, obviously. That's how the human body works. We've never tried to run lying on the ground. We've never tried to kill an animal from lying on our back. We've never performed as humans from sitting or lying down. We are designed to be in the upright position. Obviously, everything flows very smoothly and freely in the upright position. When you sit down, you get a bend in your body, and your body's just not designed to sit. So if I'm in the upright position, I now need to have a look at how do I use every single muscle and bone in my body at the same time. The more muscles I use, the higher the endocrine hormonal response, the higher the central nervous system firing mechanism, so I get a better 100% response. The more muscles I use, the bigger the exercise, the bigger the exercise, the bigger the result. If I put in 50% effort, I get a 50% result. If I put in 100% effort, I get 100% return on my investment. So the exercise selection is simply safe, effective, and short. Safe, effective, and short. Safe, effective, and short. So upright is the safe position to be in. Effective is using as many muscles as possible at the same time. And if I want to make sure that I don't get injured, I just have to watch where the pressure's going. So for example, if gravity's pushing through my body and I squat down and get back up again, everything is working in exactly the way it was designed to. Every joint is getting compression forces through the joint. If I put my arm out here, I've got the force of gravity is not compressing my joint, it's crossing my joint. So now I'm going to have shearing forces across my joint. If I push through a joint, now I've got compression forces. If I pull through a joint, I've got traction forces. But if gravity's going across my joint, I've now got shearing forces. And if I've got shearing forces, and I just always use this example, if I have two pieces of wood with sandpaper in between and I start doing this, I now wear the wood away. If I keep doing this to my joints and I wear my joints away, it's not going to be long before I won't be able to exercise at all. So if you analyze an exercise, whether you're an exercise professional or you just love, you want to know whether it's a safe, effective exercise, all you've got to do is have a look where the force is going. So if I'm in the upright position, it's going to be much safer. As soon as I've got something out here, so now I've got challenge with my shoulder, challenge with my elbow, and challenge with my wrist. So I don't want to do exercises in that position. Anything out here or out here, and interestingly, in workplace health and safety, you don't do stuff out there either. If you put a weight at the end of a long lever, you're going to have severe shearing forces across the joints. So anything that puts a shearing force across your joint where the joint's doing this is going to be something that is either short-term risky and or long-term risky. And I always ask my exercise professionals this, how awful would it be if somebody came to you for the first time and you gave them an exercise that put shearing forces across their joint and they already had an underlying challenge? They might have been a netballer and they've got sore knees. They might be a cricketer with sore shoulders and sore knees. They might be a swimmer with sore shoulders. They might be a person who sits at a desk all day, so they've already got lower back pain. And all of those joints, if any of those joints get injured, so a shoulder, an elbow, a lower back, hips, knees, they will affect your entire life and all parts of your exercise. It's really complicated. You can still do it, but it's really complicated to keep a body fit and strong if it's got a busted knee or a busted shoulder or a busted lower back. So what do we need to do to make sure that we don't bust, hurt, blow out, damage, injure our own joints or our clients' joints? And it's a really simple process. As much as possible, keep the body in the upright position because that's how it's designed to work. Make sure that the forces through each joint is going through the joint or pulling through from the joint, not going across the joint. So there's some really silly exercises that will damage joints in the short term or the long term. Anything that puts a shearing force across the joint means that person won't be able to exercise for very long. So please don't hurt people. Please give people a safe exercise so they can keep exercising for their entire life. Now, last but not least, there's a motivation for exercise. Should we find out, if we're going to get people puffed and we're going to get them lifting heavy, should we find out how that's going to fit into their lifestyle? Do they prefer to exercise in the morning or the evening? Now, there's a big question, when should I exercise, morning or evening or lunchtime? First of all, what's going to fit into your lifestyle? I also ask this great question, what a great way to start the day, pump a huge amount of happy chemicals into your brain, and how much better will your day be? How much more effective will your brain be thinking? How much faster will your metabolism be if you exercise in the morning? But there are people who don't have time, so we need to fit exercise into people's lifestyles. Another great question to ask is, do you prefer to exercise in a group or do you prefer to exercise by yourself? A really important question. It might go like this. Do you like team sports or do you like individual athletic pursuits? Some people love to exercise with the group. They like the rush of oxytocin that we get when we exercise with our puppy dogs, of course. If we exercise with other people, we produce this different chemical. It's the connection love chemical. But there are some people that hate exercising with the group. They either feel uncomfortable in a group, they feel intimidated by the group, they don't want to exercise with other people watching them. And here's a really interesting one. There are some people that really love team sports because they love that they can compete with people and win something together. But there are other people that They never do team sports because the reason they hate it is if they perform really well and the team doesn't play well, they get really annoyed. And if they didn't play well but the team still wins, they don't even appreciate the win. So what a great question to ask people. Do you like to exercise with the group? And there are some major benefits of group exercise, of course. There's the social connection. There's the oxytocin rush. There's the competitiveness. So you often get better and better because you're with a group. But there are some people that turns them off. So find out, because there's some people who like this group. I want to exercise by myself. I want to compete with myself. If I'm in control of my exercise, it means that every time I exercise, I can get better and better. I don't care what the group's doing. I want to do more. I want to lift heavier. I want to puff harder. And I don't want to be controlled by another group of people. If I win, I want to be proud of myself. And if I lose or I screw up or I make a mistake, I'm going to learn from my mistake and move on. I don't want to be controlled by a group of people. So would that be a really good thing to find out about yourself and about other people? You might be at the moment plodding through 45-minute classes or going to group boot camps or exercising in a sporting environment with other people, and you're hating it and you wonder why. Maybe you need to do an individual sport. Or the reverse, you might be doing individual sport and you need some external motivation. You need some oxytocin by hanging out with other people, and you really want the group motivation of competing with other people. So should we find that out? So what's the time of the day? How many people do you want to exercise with? Is it yourself or a group or one other person? Do you need somebody else to motivate you, or are you self-motivated? And then it doesn't matter what we do. So how about we ask people, what do you want to do to get puffed? And then how is that going to relate to the activities that you want to do? So if you want to rock climb, or you want to dance all night at a nightclub, or if you want to have a baby, if you want to be able to stay up for 12, 15, 18 hours a day because you're busy and you love your business. You might want to have ripped abdominals, tight butt cheeks, and muscly arms. Let's find out why people will get excited about exercise. What result do they want to get? And then remember, how can I give them the safest exercise in the shortest period of time to give them the best results possible? And if I can do that for my client, if I can do that for myself, is it possible that I will then be motivated and inspired? Last but not least, what if I don't feel like it? Oh, I don't feel like exercising at the moment. I've got no energy. I've heard that many, many times. And I think somewhere in my way, way, way distant past, because remember I exercise every day, I might have even said that myself. But here's the interesting thing. Energy produces more energy. Momentum produces more momentum. So how often has this happened where you didn't feel like exercising, but you went and exercised anyway, and at the end of the session you felt unreal? Well, the key there is that if we have to motivate somebody for 45-minute class, 1-hour run, 30-minute walk, maybe that's too long. And the beautiful thing about that 100% phosphate system where I'm going to go, 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 what happens there is that that's 10 seconds. As soon as I get overloaded, I get puffed, I produce those neurotransmitters, I now have a brain that's rewarded. I'm filled up with dopamine. I feel satisfied. I'm full of serotonin. I've got brain-derived neurotrophic factor. I've produced endorphins to make sure that it doesn't hurt that much. So and I always share this as an interesting, just a personal thing that I do every day. Because I used to do stupid exercises, because when I first started exercising, I had no clue what I was doing. So I did lots of exercises that put shearing forces across my joints. And I used to exercise for hours and hours. And I now have a body that's pretty busted up. I'm pretty broken, which is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about safe exercise. Because when you're as old as me, if you want to be sexy at 60, if you want to be sensational at 70, awesome at 80, you can't afford to have broken joints. It's too hard. And one of the things that's really hard for me to be motivated is when you've got joint pain, I have to get going. But it's much harder to get going when everything hurts. So how do I avoid that? And that means don't give people exercises that put shearing forces across their joints. So for me, as an old lady, one of the things I have to do in the morning is I have to pump synovial fluid through my joints, because otherwise I can't move around. So what I do first thing in the morning is I go as hard and fast as I possibly can for 10 seconds on my cross trainer. Now, I've chosen a cross trainer because there's no pounding. I'm in the upright position. I can go really hard and it doesn't matter what I wear. But what that does for me first thing in the morning is it pumps happy chemicals into my brain, synovial fluid through my joints. My heart and lungs are... So just before I started chatting today, I went and did as hard and fast on the cross trainer as possible. So because I've got to, when I'm chatting, I've got to produce a range of thoughts have got to come into focus to produce information. So my brain has to be on fire. I have to be full of energy and I have to be positive, happy, excited about what I'm doing. And that, of course, comes from 10 seconds of sprinting. So if you really want to get people going first thing in the morning, again, it doesn't have to be exercise first thing in the morning, as in, oh, I've got to go to the class, I've got to get dressed and go to the gym. Could we take that definition of exercise away? And exercise is simply, what can I do for 10 seconds at my 100% effort to pump happy drugs into my brain, to make sure that my body's circulating oxygen and blood and nutrients, and that I feel good straight away? And that's the beautiful thing about exercise. It's the pumping of happy drugs. So what I do every single day without fail, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I start my day pumping happy drugs into my brain by sprinting for 10 seconds. Now, some mornings when I've got time, I sprint for 10 seconds, get my breath back, do it again, get my breath back, do it again. If I'm on holidays, I've got longer. So sometimes like I've got an hour to exercise, yay, but I still sprint really hard, get my breath back, sprint really hard, get my breath back. So that I've got a body that can do all the things that I want to do for the rest of my life. And that's what I wish for everybody. Let's find out what inspires people. Let's find out what motivates people. Let's find out what they don't like, and let's not give them that to do. And is it possible that if we focus on the results rather than the process? And this is the example I always use. We all want strong, white, straight teeth, yeah? We all want to smile and people to see our beautiful teeth. But nobody really likes going to the dentist, even to get your teeth cleaned or to get them whitened. It's still, you have to go there and take time and money, but sometimes it's just to, you know, open your mouth and somebody's got stuff in your mouth. The process of having straight white teeth is not always that exciting, but we would love straight white teeth. So what dentists never do is market their dental facility or their dental business with, we've got a beautiful drill made in Germany of titanium, and we've got these beautiful leather seats for you to lie on, and we've got this fantastic drilling process, and we've got these amazing chemicals that will whiten your teeth. The dentist never talks about the process. All dentists, if they're really good at marketing, will talk about, we're going to give you beautiful, strong, straight white teeth. Not the process. And maybe as exercise professionals, we need to take a little bit more notice of that. Let's not talk about the process. Let's talk about the outcome and the results and how good people will feel. So there's the feature, which is the exercise. There's the benefit. I'll have a fit, strong, healthy body. But how will you feel when you walk into a room with a stack of energy, when you slide into your clothes, when you look good on the beach in summer, when you can perform at your best at everything that you do? How will you feel? And if we focus on the emotion, the feeling of the results rather than the process, maybe we'll excite people even more. But what I'm hoping that you take from me today with all of my passion and enthusiasm for exercise, because exercise really is my best friend, is it possible that exercise is actually only 10 seconds of high intense activity on a regular basis? It's not physical activity. We get fit and strong so that we can do our physical activity, so we can play our sport, so we can perform at our best at everything else that we do. So if we break the process, and again, people might not may not like going to the dentist, but if the dentist came up with a way of giving you straight white teeth and it only took 10 seconds, we would probably be less hesitant about going to the dentist. So let's keep exercise as it should be, 100% effort. When you put in 100% effort, you can only do 10 seconds. And when you put in a hard effort, you get a hard result. When you put in 100% effort, you get 100% result. And then you can have a body that is literally, and I get excited when I share this. Do you want a body that is a fast, fat-burning, food-burning, calorie-burning, energy-burning machine? Do you want to have a stack of energy? Do you want to perform at your best? Do you want to have a body that can fight germs, bugs, viruses, and diseases so that whatever attacks you, your body's got a strong immune system to fight back? Do you want to have a brain filled up with neurochemistry that you don't have to go to the doctor to get a packet of pills for? Wouldn't it be great to be happy and excited and motivated about life without having to take any kind of chemical pharmaceutical because your body's producing its own? And then what about self-confidence, self-esteem, great hair, great skin, great nails, strong bones so that you don't get osteoporosis, strong muscles so you stay strong for the rest of your life, strong brain so that you can overcome challenges, you can think more clearly, you can be more creative, and your brain never wastes away, so your chances of getting Alzheimer's and dementia are either completely reversed, you just will never get them, or they'll be so far down the track that you'll be, and literally, I share this again with passion and enthusiasm, wouldn't it be great to live your life like this? Fabulous at 40, fantastic at 50, sexy at 60, sensational at 70, awesome at 80, never give up at 90, and happy and healthy at 100 plus. Is it possible? Yes, because there's people doing it. Do you want to do it? Is it possible for you? That would be up to you.